It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth, and our topic today is a road that has yet to be built. It's been called over the years the Bregaw Extension. That is the extension of Bregaw going southward into the university campus and connecting onto Elmore Road, which then continues south to Tudor Road. It's also been called the UMed North Access, UMed being University Medical District, North Access bringing a connection in from Northern Lights Boulevard so that more traffic can get into that job center of the UMed area. It's been one of the most controversial road projects that we've talked about in Anchorage over the years. I personally am aware of at least 20 years, 25 years of controversy on the subject. But it's come to a very big turning point because the legislature has appropriated $20 million to actually build this road, and that will soon be sitting in front of the governor for his signature. So our topic today is the Bregaw Extension, the North UMed Access Route, and I expect a lively discussion and lots of comments on it. I've got three guests in the studio and more guests that I wanted to be here. And so I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. I want to invite Representative Andy Josephson, who represents the area in the State House. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Vice Chancellor for Administration from UAA, Bill Spindle, is with us.
Thank you, Charles.
Now, I need to talk a little bit about the KSKA perspective on this and the other guests that we wanted to have. There's one route of this road that would go right next to the KSKA studios. Alaska Public Media is our parent organization, has not taken a position on routes or on the project as a whole, and so that's kind of not part of our discussion today because it's still a neutral organization, and obviously I'm going to try to be as neutral and disinterested as I can be as well. Now, there's some significant absences in our lineup today. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is the lead agency to be constructing this road. They were invited to be here and declined to attend as a matter of policy. We took that up the chain of command, and I guess their feeling was that the project was too controversial, and so they didn't want to engage with a radio conversation on it. Also contacted the municipality of Anchorage through the project management department and also the mayor's office, and they also declined. The project was a top priority for the municipality in their legislative request list this year, but they felt that because the DOT was the lead agency, that DOT should be the agency that would attend and answer questions. Also talked to the engineering firm, Dow Engineering, which is working on it. They deferred to DOT, and then attempted to get some other legislators to participate. Senator Kevin Meyer, Senate Finance Committee Chair, was out of town, and in the time that I had available after making all these phone calls, I wasn't able to track down anyone else who was a champion of the project. So we have the guests we have, and I think we can have a good discussion. We've also got a lot of resources online for you to look at alaskapublic.org. The Vice Chancellor, Bill Spindle, is actually... where others fear to tread is bravely being here as an organization that supports the project, but it's not their project. They're here because they're a user of the UMed area, and they have concerns there about traffic, and they have gone from a neutral position to a position of supporting this roadway. And so I want to make clear, Bill, that you're not here on behalf of the project. You are here on behalf of UAA and your perspective.
That's correct.
So tell me, what is the traffic issue that needs to be addressed in the UMed area? What's happening, and why do you feel that there needs to be a solution?
Well, Charles, I think the major situation is that over the last few years, well, for a while now, but really since in the last 10 years, I'd say there's been significant growth in the UMed district. And I can, of course, talk mainly about UAA growth. I mean, we've added more than 260,000 square feet in facilities in just the last 5 years. We obviously have a large commuter population. We have 16,000 students that attend UAA here on this campus, and of them, 15,000 are commuter students. We also have 3,000 staff and faculty that travel to and from our campus. And of course, we can observe and we have conversations with the other UMed district members, and you can just look and see that the other large members have grown significantly, Providence and ANTHC. And all this growth, of course, is a sign of a healthy economy, but of course, it comes with a price, more congestion and more limited access to an area that is one of the highest employment growth areas in the city. We've also had talks with groups like the fire department who are having a difficulty figuring out how to meet their time frames of getting fire equipment in and out of this area because of the increased congestion. And right now, from the northern part of, for the northern access to the UMed district, really UAA Drive is the only major entrance to the heart of the UAA campus. And if you've ever been on that road when the students are traveling from one class to another, you know what kind of congestion is involved there. And it's our understanding that with a road like the Northern Access Road, as much as or more than 40% of that congestion could be alleviated. Okay. So that's something that's of interest to us.
Yeah. So Representative Josephson, you spoke in opposition to this when it was brought up to the floor in the State House, even though it's a large project for your district. Why have you taken a position of opposition?
Well, there's two reasons. One of them is, and I've given this a fair amount of thought, Charles, one of them is just sort of a democratic process response, and that is that fundamentally on an issue like this where there's such consensus in my district, I believe it's my view, notwithstanding anything I might think, to support my constituents. This isn't really, although there's some sort of moral dimensions to this, it's not that sort of topic necessarily. Secondarily, were it my sort of position that was at issue, and mine alone, I think they make some very good arguments. That is, the vast majority of my constituents for opposing it. As I've said, there's no doubt that if you open up a road, more traffic would flow. As I said, you could open up four and you'd get even more traffic moving. But the difficulty is that, number one, I think there's some evidence, there's some folks who've looked at the reconnaissance plan in great detail, and I think there's some evidence that perhaps traffic wouldn't flow all that much better, number one. Number two, it would hurt the character of the university, and that's, of course, a broad topic. And I suppose third, people who care about the university, including students at APU, but also people who live off campus, neighbors of the university, enjoy those recreational opportunities. And they see this as, that's where the moral dilemma sort of comes in. They see this as one of those key issues about which way is the city going to go? Is it going to simply create more and more pavement, or is it going to diversify and have other opportunities?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we have, you've alluded to how much public interest there is in this. I think it's one of the hottest topics going at the moment, and I know we're going to have a lot of input from listeners today because I've already gotten four or five emails and a couple of Facebook posts. So I want to put out that phone number to people who would like to comment today on the North UMed Access or Bregaw Extension, however you want to call it. The phone number here in Anchorage is 550-8433. From outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And to get on via email is at hometownalaskapublic.org. If you go to our website, alaskapublic.org, you'll find backup material that might allow you to be a more intelligent commenter. We have the map there from the reconnaissance study that was done, and also details of the reconnaissance study, an article in the Daily News about the project, some graphics the Daily News produced, and some comment from Alaska Pacific University from their blog about the project. And here's Vice Chancellor Spindle. Here's a good question that I think sums up some of the concerns people have, and I know that you'd want to respond to because it's your, you know, a lot of this is your campus. This is from Andrew Cunningham, who posted a comment. I'm concerned that almost all these options presented involve routing a street through green areas that are highly utilized by walkers, skiers, and bikers. I utilize these trails daily, and I'm wondering what the impact would be for trail users. Teach a ski class in the winter and mountain bike class in the summer. I can commute to work with my family on these trails and enjoy that we're able to stay away from traffic. Points out that that the routes look like they could degrade some of the positive qualities of the campus, which is kind of a probably nationally something of a unique campus in. You're almost like a not a wilderness area, but a very natural area. How does the university look at balancing these values? I know you want to protect the campus, and you also want to get people in there.
I think that's a great question, and I agree with the caller. I've used those trails myself. I love to run over in that area. I think the major point to be made there is that any kind of a road that might go in or any way to alleviate congestion has to take into concern the pristine environment that we have up there. We love that area too. So we wouldn't support, or we would not be behind any road that was just a high pass speedway that roared through that area and no way to get across, be a problem from everybody that had to try to use that area. We would be much more interested in some kind of a road that where you have to go slow, not to a point where you can have whether it's overpasses, underpasses, the kinds of ways to alleviate the problems that we would cause the folks on the trail. So our goal would be to make the trails even better. Mm-hmm. Our goal would be to make sure everything complement each other. And I think if we're able to do that, we can preserve the quality of that environment.
Do you have in terms of the routes, have you taken a position, or have you looked at one or the other that you think would do a better job of preserving those other qualities?
Well, I think obviously there's several routes that go through the heart of UAA, for one thing. There's one that comes, like as you said, Charles, right directly at your station, mm-hmm. or goes right by it. I think that if I was looking at the routes, that the HG route, it's the straightest, and I think people worry about if the city was to choose that route, that therefore you just put a straight road there and people would go whizzing through.
And that's basically the route that just connects the end of Brigade, the end of Elmore.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We would see that as the J and K routes, which go into the UAA campus. We have more problems with those because they just create more traffic problems for us. I think the route in the middle, I can't speak to the routes that go through the APU campus, but the route in the middle, I think properly configured, and by that I mean with roundabouts and ways to slow the traffic, and then overpasses, underpasses that allow you to get folks across and also to get our students. Representative Josephson mentioned a really good point about the character of UAA. Obviously, our goal is not to split this campus up in two pieces in a way that is like a fence down the middle of it. We would want the kind of a route that would allow it to be an integral part of our campus.
Let me turn to you, Representative Josephson, on this issue of preserving the campus. And I guess one of the rules of sort of traffic engineering is that cars tend to want to go the straightest, shortest route. And I mean, do you feel that there's a way to build through the campus and connect those two roads that's not going to be a big, highly trafficked route? Or do you have thoughts about how this project could be built and protect those values that you're talking about?
Well, Charles, for the listeners, there is an 81-page report prepared by Dowell in 2011.
And we do have that on our website.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that does indicate a number of things. One of them is that the GH route, that's sort of how I think of it, which comes straight down from East High to what is going to be the new sports center.
Right, and we call that sort of the direct connection between the two roads, between Elmore and Brigade. Mm-hmm.
Right. That impacts, along with impacting the studio, according to the report, by the way, that impacts and comes into conflict with A, B, and C wetlands. The A wetlands are the most sensitive. I do think that a cut and cover, I don't know how you get under a wetland, but I'm not an engineer.
Basically a tunnel type.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. That kind of thing is possible, and this report includes some nice graphics that show a model of that. The problem with that is featured at page 71 of this report, or 73, and that is that there's insufficient funds so far, according to the report and according to anecdotal evidence, to fund such a project. There's $20 million funded through Senate Bill 18. That's the capital budget. And it would take something more than that to do more sort of complicated engineering that would require.
Do you know, incidentally, where the $20 million figure came from? I mean, is that something in the report that substantiates that figure?
Yeah. First answer is yes. The report says, I think, $13 to $19 million is sort of the middle range. The mayor had on, I think, the LRTP, the Long Range Transportation Plan, it had been there for years, this prospective extension. And so it was there in the navy blue booklet or binder that the city had distributed around amongst the legislators. But Senator Gardner and I, of course, following our constituents' wishes, steered away from it, didn't say anything about it, didn't request it for sure. But I suspect they get the $20 million because they got that number from the city.
Okay. The show is Hometown Alaska. We're talking about the North Brigaw Extension, or also known as the UMed North Access. This is the road that would connect Northern Lights or Brigaw through to the university campus and then onward to Elmore. My guests today are Vice Chancellor Bill Spindle from the University of Alaska Anchorage and Representative Andy Josephson, who represents this area in the State House. My name is Charles Walforth. KSKA has been mentioned a couple of times at Alaska Public Media. We don't take a position on the project. We did invite Alaska Department of Transportation, which is a lead agency on the project, to attend today. They declined on the grounds that the project is controversial. Likewise, the Municipality of Anchorage declined to participate, but we're doing our best with what we've got, and we hope to get your comments and questions, and we'll do our best to answer them, understanding that we don't have anyone here who specifically represents the project. So if you want to get on the air, the number here is 550-8433. From outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. Email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And now I'd like to go to Chris, who's calling from Anchorage. Chris? Do we lose him? Yeah. All right. Well, then let's go to Jim, also calling from Anchorage. Jim?
Oh, hi. Thank you, Charles, and special thanks to Andy Josephson for showing up today. I went to the hearing that was held by Department of Transportation. They only noticed a tiny segment of the population around the university. This is a university that belongs to all of the public, and it was a fragmented hearing. Go to this table and tell one of the eight different tables what you think. I'm going to ask Andy Josephson to convene a legislative hearing to have a real public hearing on this issue.
Response to that, Representative Josephson?
Well, it's Jim, right? I believe so.
That's right, Jim.
Jim, you know, we have had what could be called sort of protest hearings or FAUX, I think it is, hearings. In that, and when I say we, I mean the Democratic caucuses. We don't have gavels. We desperately want them. We think we would do a great job with them. But we can't hold hearings. And what we can do is find public places and invite the public to come to a hearing of sorts with a small H and raise Cain. That's something we can do. And I certainly invite you and encourage you to write the governor and say, Governor, we can save the state $20 million instantly with your veto of this project. That certainly would be time, I think, well spent.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Let me, as Representative Josephson, just simply vetoing the project means there's no project. That doesn't solve the traffic problems in the UMed area. What would you propose for that, is there a solution to the traffic issues?
Well, you know, this reconnaissance study, and Jim should call me at 575-ANDY if he would like to talk to me further. But this reconnaissance study does a good job, I think. It's had its critics, that's for sure, but it does a good job of laying out alternatives. Now, none of them are pain-free. Some of them would require the design of a parking facility off-site, that's given a lot of attention in this report from Dowell. There's talk of expanding of options. expanding UAA Drive. There's a lot of discussion about an increase to public transportation, primarily through the People Mover, but also the UAA Rides Network. That's very expensive, by the way. I was astonished at the figures for that. To increase the route significantly, you're looking at least, I think it was $9 million. So that's half the cost of the road. I think there are any number of ways that this report is challenged, though, and the whole sort of concept of the road is challenged. And I know that there's one critic, at least, who suggests that when you look at pages, I believe 51 and 61 of the report, and you compare the traffic delays, you only see marginal improvements, marginal reductions. We're talking seconds, maybe a minute and 20 seconds in speed into and out of the university.
Right. And we got an email to that effect, but I want to turn to Bill Spindle, who's my other guest, to address, like, what other alternatives there's been. I know a lot of campuses around the country are going more towards using more shuttles and more alternative transportation tools rather than cars and roads. And Representative Josephson has mentioned a couple of different alternatives. Have you looked at other ways of addressing the traffic problems?
Absolutely, Charlie. Charles, we have done that. I again agree with Representative Josephson that alternatives are great if you can make them happen. Parking garages cost $20 to $30 million. They are the way to go. In fact, in our master plan, you'll see that we're trying to build parking garages on the edge of the university. We want people to park and then come into the university.
Parking's a nightmare.
Yeah. Parking can be you ask, I'm sure any student listening will be glad to verify that. We also, in the study, talks about transportation demand management, which simply means that, for example, if you raise the cost to bring your car in, in our case, if you raise the cost of our parking permit significantly enough, it becomes an economic issue where they have to go to some other kind of transportation. So we could, for example, take our parking permit, raise it by two or three times what it is now, and suddenly people would go, oh my gosh, driving a car in there is not going to be worth it to me. Therefore, I'll investigate the bus. Well, the bus is a great option. The People Mover has actually reduced the number coming in there. We would love to talk to the city about the problem is the source of where the person's coming from. The people are coming in, but some of the people that want to ride the bus can't get a bus where they're at and therefore come in. But I'm always welcome to more discussions about that. As far as the shuttles, over the last 5, 10 years, we have built a huge shuttle system on our campus. How many do we have now, Chris, shuttles?
There's
I want to invite you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No problem. We've got Chris Terlides is here. He's the facilities director at UAA. And do you want to talk about, like, how many shuttles you've got and what other alternatives you've
Sure, Charles. Thanks. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Exciting to be here. So, as Bill was mentioning, we have a transportation system on campus. So we have about 7 shuttles that run Monday through Friday, pretty much all day long. So we carry over 1,000 passengers a day during the peak of the semester. We taper that back on edges, it runs maybe 4 or 5 in the morning, 2 or 3 in the evening, but during the quarter of the day, all the shuttles are out. So we were somewhere around a 15-minute service time. We've gotten that down to 10, 12 minutes, and that's helpful. But, we all want a bus to be there when we arrive there. So,
cold weather, people want to drive right to the door.
Exactly. So
let's go to John. He's calling from Anchorage to talk about some of the benefits of the road. John?
Yes, thank you. I think by moving this road, as I understand it, would actually move to the edge of campus or the border between APU and UAA. And a big benefit, and I think it would gather a lot of support, if the road UAA Drive was just shut down and made more pedestrian friendly, either by a cul-de-sac that dead ends near the bridge that spans it. That would be my thought.
Mm-hmm. Interesting idea. Bill or Chris, do you have a comment on closing down UAA Drive if this is built?
So we've talked about that in our master plans, that from Alumni Loop, which is the first east-west route south to Providence, that we'd like to have that more pedestrian-friendly. But that will really require a good loop on our part and, you know, this northern access at some point to reduce the load of traffic.
It's a hazardous spot because there's a bridge there, but students don't use the bridge. And so cars are sort of having to negotiate a lot of people crossing a fairly straight stretch of road.
So I do want to shout out to all the drivers that are extremely pedestrian friendly in along that stretch of road. We do appreciate it.
I do my best. I drive it many times a week. Here's an email, and I'd like to turn this one to you, Representative Josephson. This is coming from someone involved with the Resh and Jack Community Council. They state the council is opposed, and I guess all of the neighboring community councils are opposed to the project. And they state, as conditions stand now, Brigaw is carrying much more traffic than was ever designed to handle, making access from neighborhood streets problematic at best. Wait times of 7 to 10 minutes or more are not uncommon for me to experience from my street, East 9th Avenue. I have observed even longer waits from other streets in my area. Resh and Jack Community Council members believe that by adding North UMed access from Brigaw, traffic congestion will increase to the point that access to Brigaw from our neighborhood streets on the east would be nearly impossible. And that's from Fred McCleary, the Resh and Jack Community Council. It seems this is bringing up an issue we haven't really talked about yet, which is that if you connect these two major roads, Brigaw and Elmore, presumably there'd be a lot more through traffic that now is forced to go over to Lake Otis. So folks going from East Anchorage to South Anchorage would start coming through the campus. What thought has been given to that? Have you thought about that? And is there a way around that as far as you're concerned?
Well, the J&K route suggestions, which come right into the campus rather than heading due south from East High, are said, according to this report, and it seems believable to me, to discourage through traffic.
So these are the routes that, looking at the map, what we've got on our website, which I encourage you to bring up on your phone if you're listening, or on your computer, these are routes that would go from Brigaw to essentially UAA Drive, just south of Goose Lake, but north of Providence Drive. So essentially, you're not saving any time if you're trying to get across the campus, because you'd then have to go down UAA Drive, go through the light there to Providence, go through the light again at Elmore, and it wouldn't save you much time at all.
Right. In fact, I mean, it seems fairly obvious that it would do nothing for the Providence employee coming from the north. There was I think someone from District 14 just to my north who lives on Wesley. In fact, I believe I know who she is. She wrote a long comment in this report that I read this morning, and she echoes what Mr. McCleary says, which is that this will generate more traffic in the Northern Lights Brigaw area that it can't handle now, and that coming out of East High is problematic as it stands now. So, you know, it's a good thing I'm not a traffic engineer because this is so problematic. I will say that there are problems on UAA Drive that are voiced presently from people who live principally on Widgeon, which is just to the northwest of Goose Lake. I suppose it's conceivable that this kind of road would absorb some of that traffic. Mm-hmm. But again, the constituents oppose it. Their view, I think, fundamentally is they don't, at the end of the day, when they want to go walk a dog or go for a jog or go for a ski, they don't want to have to get in their car to do it. And they moved into a community that was like that. And so it's one of those great sort of debates that occurs in growing urban communities about quality of life issues.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to a break in just a moment, but I wanted to ask Bill Spindle, the Vice Chancellor at UAA. We've just been discussing this alternative of a route that goes from the Brigaw and Northern Lights over to UAA Drive near Goose Lake. I guess another alternative is simply to upgrade UAA Drive to four lanes. UAA Drive, of course, is that route that that currently goes from Northern Lights over to Providence Drive. Have you guys looked at those options, and what do you think of them?
Sure, we looked at options on every part of our campus. In fact, I believe there is going to be an upgrade to Northern Lights for the flow from Northern Lights into UAA Drive this summer, and so that will be one alleviation. I guess my point is, I think in any direction you look on our campus, we're growing, and we've just got to find relief valves. And I would not argue about what people think about one route over another. I would leave that to the traffic engineers to figure out what's the best way to do things. I have been told by the folks that did the study that they would estimate that two-thirds of the new traffic on that northern access would be coming into the UMed district, and one-third would keep going. So there were the thought being, what we would also do is reflow the traffic that we have into the campus to make a better flow for the entire road situation that we have.
All right. Well, it's Hometown Alaska. We're having a discussion about the Bregaw Extension, North UMed connection that brings traffic from Northern Lights down to Providence Drive and the university campus and medical campuses there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll be giving out the phone numbers and email address for listeners to get involved. Stay with us for more of Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. We are talking today about the Bregaw Extension, the new road, which has been funded by the legislature. $20 million is in the state capital budget, which is sitting on Governor Parnell's desk for signature, to build a 7/10 of a mile road to connect Northern Lights to Providence Drive and Elmore. The routes are under consideration. The Alaska Department of Transportation is going into a year-long design process to engage with the public and get comments on what route to select. Unfortunately, that agency has declined to participate in our show today, as has the Municipality of Anchorage and also the engineering firm, which is responsible for working on the road, and also had some difficulty getting legislative advocates to come on the show. Kind of at short notice in asking them, but we do have a good discussion going here because we've got UAA Vice Chancellor Bill Spindle, who's in charge of administration at UAA, to talk not about, not as an advocate so much of the road as from the UAA perspective and the need to deal with their traffic issues at campus. Along with Vice Chancellor Spindle is Facilities Director Chris Terlides, who is with us, and Representative Andy Josephson, who represents the area in the State House. We've got a number of messages and comments, we invite you to get involved. If you have feelings about this project or questions, there's a lot to talk about. So you can call us at 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, it's toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. Email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. You can also comment on our website, where you'll find a lot of backup material, including a map that shows all the different routes and the route numbers that we're talking about. Might make it a little bit easier to follow. And so we've got some calls, so I think we need to go and answer a few of those. And right now I would like to go to Representative Garen Tarr, who is calling from Anchorage. Representative Tarr, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Charles. Glad to hear the discussion today on such an important topic. And what I wanted to do, I don't represent the area where the road would go after redistricting. Of course, Representative Josephson has that area. But I think folks in Airport Heights very much still feel like a part of the UMed district. And just as recently as January, we were another of the community councils that passed a resolution in opposition of the road project. But what we did support was the TDM alternative, which is the traffic demand management alternative, and some of the suggestions that Representative Josephson made earlier about increased bus routes and changing things at peak times. But part of that, and it talks about this in the report, it says that, you know, as part of this concept, all of the institutions in the UMed district were assumed to be part of working on that alternative. And I'm wondering if Mr. Spindle can just fill us in on what conversations are happening with the other institutions to ensure there's good coordination and, you know, how we can do a better job planning in the future.
I think that's a great question, Representative. I think what we are trying to, we have a, I think you're aware, we set up a Green Council some years ago, and we periodically are trying to meet with different representatives from the other units that are in the UMed district. I think we're getting to the point, and I just was talking to my folks the other day, that it's really important that on the parking side of the house that we begin to look at a more robust approach to parking in the whole district. Right now, and I can only speak to Providence and UAA, but UAA has a, we charge a fee to use our parking. Providence does not. They pass on that cost another way. So it's not unusual for our students to avoid paying our fee by going and using their parking. So we're in a situation and we now have a health campus on the side of the street where Providence is. So more and more, it's just getting tougher and tougher to separate ourselves out. So we really want to work together, and we've talked to them about how can we work with them and the other UMed partners to find a better way to handle the traffic. So we are in active discussion on that right now.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Representative Tarr. We have a lot of callers and comments, so we're going to keep moving here. But I think Chris Terlides had a comment he wanted to make.
I just wanted to mention that we are involved, all the UMed partners are involved with the Muni on the redo of the UMed district plan. That's just underway, probably a year and a half, 2 year effort. I think they're coming back. The team was up here a month or so ago, and they're coming back in June to collect some more information, have some more public hearings, and talk about issues within the UMed district. Transportation is high among the things that we hope to work on. APU has just done some work on their master plan. We are working on our master plan with a lot of collaboration with the UMed district and the Muni on that.
Okay. Let's go to Tom, who's calling from Anchorage. Tom?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm one of those folks that's been opposing this kind of thing for about 35 or 40 years because putting a road through there will open up all that wonderful natural forest to development. It will be, to quote the old song, to pave paradise and put up a parking lot. And that would be a shame, both in terms of that immediate loss, but also long-term property values in Anchorage would be much higher with that Central Park left intact. If New York hadn't dedicated Central Park, I don't think those Park Avenue places would be worth much anything. And it may be much better for the university as well to have a really good recreational athletic zone. And besides, this straight-through cut-through from north to south is really just a piece of the old East Side Bypass. And that was an effort to get traffic to skirt around Anchorage, originally east to Muldoon, and then across the BLM track and somehow across the lower hillside valuable properties. Later, they moved it to the Bregal alignment. But the project is done. You can skirt through Anchorage by turning on Boniface, connecting to Martin Luther King Boulevard, and then Elmore, and, you know, west on Dowling, and, you know, you've gotten through. So this leg of that old proposal is redundant and unnecessary. And finally, it's just not a very good public policy, especially in these modern days, to push more traffic into the quiet zones of a couple hospitals and the pedestrian zone of a couple universities. I mean, you don't want to push, you don't want to encourage traffic into those zones. You want to keep it out. And anyway, those are the heart of my comments, and thank you for this program.
Yeah, thanks for weighing in, Tom. And here's one that came in via email, which is passing on information from the Rogers Park Community Council from David Evans, who states that he lives on Galewood Street. According to the September 2011 reconnaissance study report, the Bregaux extension would reduce travel time for a vehicle trying to get to the district from Northern Lights and Boniface at the peak hour in the morning by 20 seconds and by a minute and 40 seconds for a vehicle trying to get to Northern Lights in Boniface from the district at the worst time of day in the afternoon or evening. So I guess Mr. Evans is stating there's just not enough benefit there. Is that Representative Josephson?
Thank you, Charles. I read Mr. Evans's document that he sent me. It's very involved. I assume he had involved, I think, I mean that in a positive way. I assume he has some kind of engineering background because it's pretty impressive. But what I did is I called Mr. Amundson at DOT and asked him about
Mr. Amundson's a project manager who unfortunately couldn't be with us today, but yes.
Okay.
Right.
So
he's the guy, right? I just wanted to let people know who you're talking about.
All right. It's the same Evans because mm-hmm. he lives on Galewood.
Right.
But at any rate, I asked Mr. Amundson at DOT mm-hmm. about his response to this sort of just a handful of seconds differential. He's a very, very kind guy. I mean, his response was basically, yes, that's true, but it only takes into account one intersection, that you then have to multiply it by each intersection, and that the Northern Bypass would reduce several turns, say three or four intersections, down to one. There would be some travel time differences as well. So I think if Mr. Amundson was here, he would say, yeah, the studies that Mr. Evans is talking about, and I mentioned them there on page mm-hmm. 51 and 61, are accurate in terms of traffic delay reductions, but that there's more to the story than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
essentially what he would say.
And I just want to, it's Hometown Alaska. You just heard from Representative Andy Josephson, also in the studio with me, Bill Spindle, Vice Chancellor UAA for Administration, and Chris Terlides, who's the Facilities Director at UAA. I just want to emphasize again for those who are tuning in late, we did invite Alaska Department of Transportation to attend. They declined. Municipality of Anchorage also declined. So we don't have an expert in terms of the people building the roads, but we're doing our best and we're having a good discussion here. And lots of callers weighing in on our topic today. And now I'd like to go to Heather, who's calling from Anchorage. Heather?
Hi, thank you for having this discussion today. Following up on what Mr. Evans was saying, I appreciate that you have the university people there representing their perspective. But in my involvement with the Rogers Park Community Council and other community councils in the area, there's a lot of opposition to the project, and the benefits to the project are minimal compared to the negative impacts that are going to affect East Anchorage. And I find it unfortunate that in the legislature, the people in the area where the project is directly going to have impacts are opposing it, whereas people outside of the district are really pushing it. And I think it's unfair to place the burden of this project onto the residents and the university. The negative aspects of this project, and I would like to hear Mr. Josephson talk about how in the legislature how he does his best, because I know he's worked hard to get opposition and voice that. But how do you balance that with people in South Anchorage really pushing that they want to cut through East Anchorage and make it hard for elementary kids to walk to school, for example?
Well, Heather, you know, this reminds me, because it sort of has to, of a note that I received from a legislator on the floor of the State House on the 14th of April. It was a Sunday, and I offered the only substantive amendment. And my amendment was to repeal these funds and make them go away. And I got a note from a legislator. I won't disclose the legislator's name, but I've reduced it a little bit. She said, don't do this. This is a local issue. And I was sort of puzzled by the comment because, of course, it's a local issue. It's clearly not a national issue. But I say that, Heather, because it's in response to your comment about how do I weigh this against folks in South Anchorage. Well, those are my brethren as well, but I don't represent them. And I grew up not terribly far from the UMed campus. I used to play tennis at a tennis camp. There used to be tennis courts over at APU, not far from University Lake a long time ago. And so I know this area well. I have a master's degree from UAA, and I taught as an adjunct there for six semesters. I care a lot about it. And I've, although I, you know, I certainly like the administration, I've had concerns. Well, some of this, unfortunately, I mean, I suspect, and Chris would be the better person to respond to this, I suspect if you were building this university from scratch, it would look very different. But so many decisions were made many, many years ago, and that's part of the difficulty. But the short answer is, I value what my constituents value. I value access to quiet places in what is otherwise a noisy community.
All right. Thank you. You know, we have a lot of callers and emailers, so I'm going to try to move through them a little bit more rapidly here so we can get as many opinions on the air as possible. This emailer says, please discuss commercial development at APU. I don't think we really have anybody here who can address that, but it's certainly an issue that would be on the table anytime you build a new road. And I assume, you know, when they built the Elmore extension, there's no commercial development along that new road. So I suppose that it would be up to the private landowners and whatever planning process takes place to make those decisions. And now I'd like to go to Bill, who's calling from Anchorage. Bill?
Yes, I'm an Alaska Native, and I lived over there on 16th and McGraw after they allowed for that extension to the highway to be allowed in. On a very sunny, bright day, I was run over. I was on a bicycle. I was on a sidewalk, and I was a high school kid on his little lunch break. Went ahead and was trying to get into the traffic, lost control of his vehicle, and I paid the price for it. I was 7 months incapacitated. I'm still in recovery. Mm. This happened 4 years ago, April. And I'm just saying, you know, when I hear people saying, well, there are problems over there by East High, I remember during the same time, there were two other high school kids that were run over, and that's what they're calling the problem. You know, what the problem should be put in terms of human life and being endangered, and each and every person should be, you know, accounted as such rather than just the monetary value. But I'm going to be in a lifetime altered situation for this kind of development that's going on. I still ride a bike. I'm lucky that I can even walk. But
well, thanks, Bill. That's a very
newspapers or anything. It's been very inhumane.
That's a very powerful comment, and I'm really glad you called in.
And that is a residential area, and I really think that needs to be in high consideration. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Great comment. There are some other emails on the same topic of getting across Brigaw, the East High and Russian Jack Elementary being there on Brigaw, high traffic volumes there. But I don't think anybody could cover it any better than Bill did, so we'll just leave it at that. Now I'd like to go to Keith, who's calling from the Midtown area. Keith?
Good afternoon. Thank you for the show. I, as somebody who in the past has made a living at building roads, I can really appreciate the work, the money that would go into building it, the people that would make, you know, at least for one summer, make a living off of it. On the other hand, I've lived in Anchorage for 30 years now. we've paved enough and we have poured enough concrete. We need to stop spreading out. We need to build up. Let's go build a road somewhere where we actually need a road and not just something to make Mayor Sullivan look good.
So you feel that there's not a traffic problem there, or you'd just like to see other solutions?
I'd like to see other solutions. We have lost so much land that is just natural, that drains naturally, supports at least bird migration. There's no other wildlife left over there, I don't think, but at least the birds get some use out of it. And the people who enjoy walking through there or jogging or, you know, all of that. But I'm not very good at recreation, so I don't get any use out of it in that sense. But I sure do appreciate land that has not been paved over and turned into a parking lot or a road.
Okay, thanks, Keith. Road. Good comment. Right. Thanks for calling in. Here's an email from Mark. He says, the problem with asking traffic engineers to find the best route is they typically think only about moving cars, not people. And almost without exception, a new road is not a solution to congestion. You just get more congestion again in a few years. DOT typically ignores all this, especially around universities. We need to focus on other solutions, more transit and human-powered options, discouraging driving, protecting spaces that connect us to nature within our communities. Let me turn back to the Vice Chancellor, Bill Spindle. You talked a little bit about alternatives earlier. I guess you feel that there's already a traffic problem there, and unless you could get those folks to go back and use bicycles or some other way, there would still be a traffic problem, even as you encourage alternatives. Is that how you see it?
I think so, Charles. I think we are interested in improvements in every area we can find. Alternatives are great if we can get everybody. It's really a systemic issue because when you want to, if it's people mover help you need, you've got to get the infrastructure and the expense that it takes to set that up involved. We thought about trying to build a more bike-friendly place. If you go to a California university, you do transportation demand management, and it's real easy to move kids to bicycles. It's tough to do that here because of the winter. We still have some hardy kids that come in on their bikes, and we're trying to build more avenues for that, but it's tough. So the alternatives are trying to get people to ride together, and there are different programs, rideshare, and we actually have a new program where we have bought a couple of vehicles that we leave on campus, and you can rent them by the hour or the day, however you would like to, for those who ride the bus and would like to go to their dentist appointment at a time when the bus isn't running. So we are very much in favor of alternatives.
A zip car sort of?
Yeah, it's a zip car. Mm-hmm. The problem is we just don't have. We also have, you know, every student can ride buses for free. That's all part of the deal. So if we just feel like there's problems in every area, that we just need to look at every option is all we're trying
mm-hmm,
to do.
Mm-hmm. There's a new facility going in, and just driving to the studio today, it's extraordinarily fast. That new sports center is going up right there at the corner of Providence and in Elmore. When we had the athletic director when that project was starting, he said that there'd been a traffic study that said they didn't necessarily need additional roads to handle it, but I assume that would be beneficial in terms of getting vehicles in to attend events at the new center. Is that a consideration for you?
Absolutely. The arena, obviously, when you think of arena being full, there'd be a lot of traffic. But for the most part, the arena will be full when it's not a busy time of the day. And we have multiple plans, and we've done a lot of studying, and we've worked with all the partners in the UMed district on how we would flow traffic. And so I think we have a good handle on that.
All right. Now let's go to Brian, who's calling and has a comment about crosswalks. Brian?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate the opportunity. I live in East Anchorage and commute to Midtown every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And it's my belief that the biggest congestion problem in that whole area is the fact that there's a surface crosswalk just west of East High School that crosses Northern Lights, when there's, in fact, the Chester Creek Trail goes over the Northern Lights, and then there's a bridge that you can access from APU into Russian Jack Park just east of East High School. And I think that you would eliminate lots of the congestion in that whole area if you would reroute that crosswalk, which is right next to the arc there, to make these people walk a little bit longer and go over the top of the road on the bridges that are already provided, and then it would alleviate all the traffic. That's my only comment. And I have not seen anything in any traffic report or any article in any of the media addressing that. That's my only comment, and I'll take off air. Talk to you later.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone wants to comment on that. I know that the signal he's talking about, I think it's allowing people to get across that long stretch of Northern Lights. There is an overpass, but to get to the overpass, you'd have to walk a considerable distance, I think. And what I understand used to be on the AMATS traffic committee is that people on foot, like people in cars, almost always go the shortest route. These overpasses frequently are not very well used, and so just for safety's sake, that's probably why that's there. I don't know if anyone wants to weigh in on that.
I think it's also the ARC facility and some of the other facilities where you got some folks who have some difficulty crossing mm-hmm. the road, and for them to go much in any direction would be tough, so that they have the straightest shot through there. But I understand the caller's concerns.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of issues to be weighed here, and we haven't talked too much about and we've only got about a minute and a half left, but the process from here forward, I guess DOT is going to be taking comment. Representative Jodefson, maybe you can talk a little bit about people getting involved or how they can have their voices heard after the show's over and getting their comments in. The project's been funded, so presumably there will be a project built.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I suspect there's always some chance of a veto. I don't know how personally close the mayor and the governor are. And it is interesting that no one from DOT or the MOA is here. That's sort of telling. I certainly would encourage people who feel strongly about it to contact the governor's office. And they have to do it in short order. It could be a matter of days at this point. I don't know if the bill's been enrolled and grossed and all those E-words and sent over to the governor's office yet. But it's going to happen at any time. And there's the smallest chance the legislature could override that, but my amendment failed 34-6. So it's just infinitesimal. This is likely to
right.
happen.
So it's time for people to get involved sure. in the process through the engineering firm Dow Engineers and the Department of Transportation.
Yes.
Well, it's been an interesting conversation, and we do wish we'd had DOT and Mini here to talk about it, but I think we did a pretty good job among us. I want to thank Representative Andy Josephson, thank Vice Chancellor Bill Spindle from UAA, and Chris Cherlides, the Facilities Director from UAA. Good job. Thanks to all our listeners. You can still get in on the discussion at alaskapublic.org. Next week on Hometown Alaska, join host Kathleen McCoy to talk about health and of our lakes and creeks in Anchorage. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Kristen Spack is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Woolforth.
Hometown Alaska is available for its content. Views Expectations Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org.